Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And we want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to see yet another day. And our hope is that we're going that way. Amen. I want to welcome those that are visiting with us that may not be members of Highland Heights Congregation. We want you to know that you are our honored guests on this morning. Amen.
Amen.
We are gathered this morning in what some refer to as worship service. Worship service has a give and take element to it. We give to God honor by worshiping Him in spirit and according to the truth. John chapter 4. We also find in worshiping God, the Bible teaches that there are five acts to worship. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible reads, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine," that's teaching, "and in fellowship," that's giving back to the Lord as the Lord has blessed us with, "and in breaking of bread," we took the Lord's Supper, "and in prayer," we have brothers pray for us this morning. Amen? And then also, in worshiping God, the fifth act, the Bible says, praising God. Yeah. "And having faith with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved." So we're saying that according to the Bible, people are in two categories. Either I am in the church, or I should have a desire to be added to the church. Amen? Because I'm not saved from my sins, according to the Bible, until I am added to the church. Because the Bible said, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as to be saved." So again, my responsibility this morning is to share the word of God for those that are in the church. That's about Christian living. And then also my responsibility is to share with those that are visiting how one is to be added to the Lord's church. Amen?
Amen?
That's the giving part, that we come, we are here to worship and to honor God. God is the audience. We are participants in worship. And then you have a take part. We take from the scriptures that which can cause us to be more spiritual. In Acts chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, the Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we are here this morning to study the word of God. We are studying the word of God, and the only way that one is approved unto God is when we apply that which we study. That's when we approve. When I hear what the word of God says, and the word of God teaches me something, and I make application to that, that's when I'm approved to God. But then my job is to rightly divide the word of truth. When I look at the definition of the word study, and I hope we've come this morning, the word study means, and that's the Greek spelling of the word, it's a serious process of learning something that's being taught. So my hope this morning, I've already studied, and now I'm trying to share with you something from the word of God that is given to us from God. Amen?
Amen.
So I have to be serious about this. If I'm not serious about the word of God, it won't benefit me. If I'm not serious about how to live in this life to please God, I'm doing myself a disservice. So on this morning, for those that are with us this morning, again, the word rightly, divide simply means the act of handling correctly. It's my responsibility to handle the word of God correctly.
That's right.
and make it so you can understand what the Word of God is saying. So on this morning, for those that are visiting this morning, we've been studying from the book of Timothy. And I do text preaching. I preach the text. And so from that, what we read in our ears this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, Paul wrote a letter to a young preacher, Timothy. Paul was his minister. Apostle Paul was his minister. And he wrote him a letter about how he need to be and what he need to share with the church. So Paul wrote him a letter. And so from that text, we want to talk this morning about the church of the living God. And I want us to understand, even though this letter was written about 2,000 years ago, the Word of God has relevance today. You're going to see from the text we studied today. I can take the Word of God and apply it today, even though it was written about 2,000 years ago. The Word of God is as relevant this morning as watching the morning news. Yeah, it has as much relevance today as watching world news tonight on yesterday. The Word of God is relevant. You can apply it today, and we'll see in our text. Major problem in the world today. Yeah, we're going to look at it. Yeah. That situation in Memphis, those five officers, yeah, that beat up that person. He died. Yeah. The Word of God has given the answer. Understand, when the Holy Spirit gave men the Word to pen, even though he wrote it to Timothy back almost 2,000 years ago, that Word that he gave Timothy is relevant for us today. We're going to see it from the Scripture. Yeah. So from the text, three questions this morning that rise and be answered from the Bible this morning, from the text we're going to look at. Number one, what is the house of God? Because Paul told Timothy that. He also said about the pillar and the ground of truth. So what is meant by the church being the pillar and ground of the truth? And then thirdly, he talked about God. So who is the living God? All that is answered in the Bible. Also, we're going to address what's relevant this morning. What is going on with looking at that situation that happened. And remember, everybody want to do a lot of stuff. We can go to the Word of God. The answer right there in the text. There. The answer right there in the text. And look this morning. And I'm going to build those that are visiting with us. I use the King James Version of the Bible in my preaching. So Paul, we pick it up in verse 14. Paul, in writing to Timothy, the preacher in Ephesus, he said, these things write I unto thee. He said, hoping to come unto thee shortly. He said, now, I'm writing this letter to you, Timothy, and my hope is to come unto you shortly. He said, however, but if I tarry long, if I'm delayed, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
That's it.
So Paul told Timothy that if I'm delayed, you need to know and you need to share with the congregation how they ought to behave thyself. Yeah. Word behave means how one conducts himself, one's manner of life and character. As a Christian, I ought to have a certain manner of life and character about me. Yeah. Amen. I just tell you that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Now that was a metaphor when he called it a house. Why he called it a house? The word house in the text is a spiritual place where spiritual family members live. So you're in a house. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now let's go back and try to find what he meant by that family. And Isaiah, right, and he told Isaiah, we're looking now, we get that first answer about the family. Called by a name, that's the third thing. So you got righteousness, you got salvation, and then we got to look for a name. And you're in a family, the family has to have a name. He said now, with the mouth of the Lord shall name. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for a name. Family got to have a name. Yeah. And so when we get to Acts, go back to Acts, chapter 11. Peter, God had shown Peter something in Acts chapter 11 that what God cleans up, you don't call common anymore. Mm-hmm. God showed him that. So when Peter had rehearsed those things, Peter then said in Acts 11, 15, he said, and as I began to speak, Peter said, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Mm-hmm. On them were the Gentiles. Right. As on us at the beginning, meaning Acts chapter 2, when the church began.
Right.
That's when the church began, Acts chapter 2. So, Paul Peter said that the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning.
Right.
Then he said, then remember out of the word of the Lord how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, those people. Mm-hmm. He said, for as much then as God gave them, the Gentiles, the like gift, the Holy Ghost was a gift, as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I that I could withstand? I can't withstand God.
Yeah.
Right. There. Who am I to stand before God? God now, let me show you a text. He said, when they heard these things, those that were Jews, they held their peace. And they glorify God, saying, then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. God said, now, those that are Gentile, not Jew, they now have been granted repentance unto eternal life.
All right.
Watch this text. Now they, which were scattered abroad upon a persecution that arose about Stephen. Stephen had been persecuted. They traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, and the key word now is Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the who? Yeah. To the Jews only. So those men that left, they were scattered. They preached the word of God to the Jews only. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to who? Antioch. They spake unto the Grecians. The Grecians are those that are Gentiles, and they preaching the Lord Jesus. So what we got, Brother Scott? You got, when they first came, they preached to the Jews. Then, when they went to Antioch, they preached in Antioch to some that was only Jews. But then there were some that found those that were Gentile, and they preached the word of God to them. Yeah. So what you got now, here, you have integration. They really not. You don't have segregation. You got integration. Because those that know their history, one time they ruled that separate but equal was okay. But if you are equal, why do you have to be separate?
Yeah,
that took Brown and the Board of Education back in 1954 to find out that separate but equal ain't constitutional. You got to have integration. But God did that first.
Yes, he did.
God brought forth integration.
None.
God did. Mm-hmm. God did. And so we'll find from the text, the Bible said, the hand of the Lord was with them. And a great number believe. You got to believe and turn to the Lord. So you hear this morning, you got to believe the word of God. You got to turn to the Lord. That's the beginning of repentance.
Right.
Bible said, then tidings, the word tidings simply means news. Then tidings or news of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as
Antioch.
Yeah. Man, we done heard. They got a congregation down there, and that congregation is integrated. We need to send people from Jerusalem. We need to send somebody down there.
Yes, sir.
So when Barnabas got down, the Bible said, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, God now opened the door to the Gentiles. He said, the Bible said, he was glad and he exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. And I'm saying to everybody here, when you come to serve God, you got to have purpose in your heart.
Amen.
My purpose here this morning is to worship God in spirit and in truth and to learn what the word of God teaches me that I can apply it to my life.
Amen.
Got to have purpose of heart. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, well, he was a good man. Barnabas was a good man. And he was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And the Bible says that much people were added to the Lord. Those who visited this morning, we want to add you to the Lord. It's my responsibility to tell you how you can come and add to the Lord, mm-hmm. according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian, but am I a Christian according to the Bible?
Amen.
The Bible says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus, and he was looking to seek Saul. Saul was Paul's name, for he changed it to Paul. He was Saul first, then he changed it to Paul. So he was looking for Paul. Saul. The Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, three things you find in that text. One, they assembled themselves with the church. You got to assemble with the church.
Right.
Amen. We got some that's listening this morning. You are on our sick and shut-in list. Now, we got it now. You go and see who our sick and shut-in are, and you can start ministering to those individuals. Amen, somebody.
Right.
And also, the Bible said they taught much people. Now, watch this. The Bible says, the mouth of the Lord will give the name. And he gave the name in Acts 11:26. And the disciples were called what? First, God didn't allow the word Christian to be used until there was a congregation that was integrated.
There you go.
God taught integration way before man even conceived. But now, let's look at this situation we got to remember. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, the Bible teaches, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. No one is a child of God. It begins with faith in Christ Jesus. And then Paul said in the Galatians letter, For as many as of you as have been what? Into who?
Right.
Have put on who?
Right.
So that teaches me I'm not in Christ simply by saying I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ when I am baptized.
There you go.
I'm talking about that. And I put on Christ. But now, when we look at our situation in Memphis, yeah, see, whenever I think that you are lower than me, I can treat you any kind of way. Yeah. See, sometimes it's not about about color. It's about culture. But sometimes we say, oh, it's because of their color. Well, this ain't have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Not in Memphis.
Amen.
It wasn't about color. It was about culture. When I look down on you, I can treat you any kind of way, and I don't have no problem with it. But see, what God did back in Galatians, God said through Paul, he said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So what the Lord taught here is our answer. What is the answer to racial tension in this country as well as in the world today? God implemented equality. That's the answer. Equality is the state of being equal, having the same rights as others. Yeah. Yeah. See, when people are equal, when you treat people as equal, and you don't look down on it. See, when I look down on you, I can take advantage of you. It don't bother me. Cause you are lower than me. But God said here that, watch this here. Make this 2023? Yeah. So he said, there is neither black, nor white. There is neither poor, nor rich. Male or female, you all equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But long as I continue to look at a person based on the color of his skin. Yeah. When I can treat people, when you have people, congressmen up in Washington, and they're concerned about the rich and not about the poor.
All right.
Then you can enact laws. But when there is, God put this first.
Yes, he did.
When there is equality, you treat people equal.
Equal, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's good preaching. Yeah, but no, hold on. I'm just starting now.
Come on now.
Yeah, that's not where it starts.
Come on.
Because as a Christian,
now
your level is different.
You know
what you saying, Rabbi? I just treat them equal. I'm doing good. I treat them equal. Well, if you are a Christian. Paul wrote in the Philippians letter, let nothing, watch this here, nothing be done through strife or vainglory. In other words, don't do nothing because you dislike somebody, you hate somebody, or you got contention. He said, whenever you do something because you don't like a person, that's sin. Or if you do something in order to get glory, that's sin.
Amen.
Either way,
amen.
He said, let nothing be done through the fact that I'm mad at you. You sin. Yeah. When I do something to somebody because I don't care for that person, you are in sin.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Then he gave us, but in lowliness, of mine. Let each esteem other better than himself.
That's right.
Now, it's not about, you know, people say, well, you just got to treat people humane. You know, you hear that? Just treat them humane. It's not about humanity. It's about humility.
Amen.
That's what the text is. See, when I think that other people are better, I treat them that way.
That's right.
So as a Christian, the Lord says that when I look at another person, my mind is low. I understand I'm not better than nobody. Problem in Memphis, when you think you better, you can treat them how you want to.
Yes.
But as a Christian, I understand not only are things equal, but as a Christian, I live with humility.
Yes,
a lowness of mind, and I esteem other people better than I do myself.
Now, there you go.
I'll give to somebody else as opposed to give to myself.
No.
Yeah. I know when I was in my infancy in my marriage, I talk about my marriage, I ain't talking about yours. But while we had some things, and my wife, you know, because I come from a family, we everything, you don't give nobody nothing. And so since I was giving stuff out, I said, babe, time out. You know, I had to call a time out in this house. I said, babe, what you doing with that? She said, babe, you have to learn to share with other people. I didn't know that. I mean, she's from the hood. She said, I'm from the ghetto. That's what she tell me. She said, baby, you from the ghetto. I'm from the hood. There's a difference.
Yeah, it is.
When they tell you ghetto, yeah, you is. So she had to teach me. She said, "Baby, you got to learn." See, when you find somebody, my wife's Jamaica's home. She's from Jamaica's home. And I found this, you generally find two types of people, generally, in Jamaica's home. You either find somebody that know how to share what they have because you don't have much, or you're going to learn how to try to get over on people. When my wife taught me, being in a family of 11 kids, she had to learn to share.
There you go.
So she had to teach me how to share. Because I learned when your fist is balled up, nothing can get out, but nothing can get in. So you got to open your hand. And she had to teach me that you got to teach people better than you. When you have something, you got to share with other people.
Amen.
You can't just keep what you got, Brother Straub. We got to learn to share. If the Lord has blessed us with something, share with other people.
Amen.
That's humility. So as a Christian, we have to learn. Not only do we have equality, but until you reach a mind, notice now it's in your mind, where you have humility. I'm not better than somebody else. So in Memphis, when you think you better, when I think Paul, I put on the uniform, I'm now better. But understand this here. When you take off that uniform, you're a civilian just like me. Yeah. Yeah. And see, let me just drop this while we're here. Go to Luke chapter 3. Let me tell you about, people want to do all this stuff about law enforcement. What the answer to law enforcement? We need reform. We need this. What we gonna do about the law? Well, you just go to the Bible. Did I say Luke?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let you use your Bible. Go to Luke chapter 3. Answer, Q. Law enforcement. Remember we talked about this one time. Yeah. What's the answer to law enforcement? It's the mind set. It's the culture. Luke chapter 3. We there? Verse number 14. Luke wrote, he said, and the soldiers was like law enforcement. Well, in other words, they was asking Jesus questions. You know, the Bible says, and I'm going to go up a little bit, in verse number 12, he said, then came also the publicans to be baptized. And they said unto him, Luke 3:12, Master, what shall we do? And he told them, he said unto them, exact no man no more than that which is appointed. In other words, you collect the taxes, don't cheat nobody. Then the soldiers came, wait a minute, he didn't answer the question for Republican. Let us go up there and find out what the soldiers are supposed to do. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? He said unto them, watch what he tells them. Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. The word violence in that context means don't try to intimidate nobody. See, sometimes when you got people that trying to intimidate, Lord, we're trying to intimidate, you help. What Jesus told them, when you try to intimidate people, you soldiers, you are wrong.
Nah.
And another thing you do is, Lord, for me, don't accuse nobody falsely.
Nah. That's right.
And then be satisfied with what you're getting paid. If all law enforcement took this attitude from the Lord, we wouldn't have as many problems as we have today.
Amen.
Amen.
And then when you find those individuals that are trying to intimidate people like we have, that's Memphis answer. When you find people that accuse people falsely, get rid of them. Warn them, they don't get rid of them, get rid of them. When they try to intimidate people, warn them, get rid of them.
That's right.
God has the answer. So whatever the problem is, what we don't do, we want to go to the legislative system, go to the word of God.
Amen.
God answer that. Amen?
Amen?
God gives the answer. So when we talk about our issues, like I said, the word of God is relevant today. This is the answer. This is the answer. When you go to Memphis, go and just teach them what the word of God says. That's your answer. Everybody is equal. Stop looking at people by what color their skin is.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And whether they got money or don't have money.
No.
Just treat them right. Treat them equally. And as a Christian, it goes another step further. We live with a mindset of humility. We learn to treat people better than ourselves.
Right.
It's in the Word of God. The Word of God is relevant. All we got to do is go to the text. It's there. So now, let's go back. But if I tarry long, he said, I said, man, knowing how I ought to behave myself. We talk about behavior. As a Christian, you ought to behave yourself a certain way. Yeah. And when you in error, you need to apologize.
No.
I didn't roast the straw, I apologize for what I did, do you accept my apology? But now, understand this here, according to Mark 2:10, only God can forgive sin.
No.
All I'm asking for an apology.
That's it.
Sometimes we get all mean and I ain't accept your apology. Well, you can't replace sin anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, sometimes we get mad and I don't want to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You need to correct yourself. So start apologizing, accept my apology. And if you got it, you will accept it. When Peter said, Lord, how many times I forgive him? He said, 7 times 7, meaning there ain't no number. Every time I ask you to forgive me, you're supposed to forgive me. If you had the right spirit.
That's right. There you go.
Then he said, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. What does that mean? The word pillar means to maintain the doctrines of faith by teaching and practice. What I've done this morning, I've shown you a pillar on the doctrine that God has. I taught you how to practice dealing with other people. That's pillar. And then he said the ground, the word ground means it's a wall of protection. How do you protect the church? When you teach the doctrines of God and we go out and practice it, then people can see in our lives how we supposed to behave ourselves.
That's right.
That's the pillar in the ground of truth. But then I had a third question. Where's the living God? Where's the living, the church of the living God? Well, Jesus said in Mark 12:29, Jesus answered him. He said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is how many lords?
One.
So now, there's only one God. There's only one God. Mm-hmm. The word God means one in divine nature. Mm-hmm. Now, this nature of God is expressed in three personalities. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are referred to in the Bible as the Godhead. Yeah. One God. That's in the nature. But that nature is in the Father, it's in the Son, and it's in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Father sent the Son down here. The Holy Spirit gave the word, 2 Peter 1:22, gave the word to men to write down. That's why Peter, when Paul wrote, this I write unto you, he was writing because the Holy Spirit was guiding what he wrote. Yeah. One God, three personalities. So now, let's get to the text. So he said, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That's what we're supposed to be. He said, now this God was manifest in the what? Yeah. God the Father is a spirit. John chapter 4. He never put on flesh. So now we identify which God he's talking about. He said, now, this God, what the word manifest means, made known in the flesh. He was then justified in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. He was seen by angels. He was preached unto the Gentile, and he was believed on the world, and then he went back up to glory. And we know from John's writing, the Bible saying the word, that's Jesus, was made what? And he did what? Dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the who? Full of grace and truth. So when he said the church of the living God, the God he's talking about is Christ. Christ is that person he's talking about. Because Christ put on flesh for man, born of a woman. Yeah. So that's why we're the church of the living God. So now, in summary, Peter said in his writing, he said he also has lively stones. Yes, people need to understand that you don't go to church. Sometimes we say that. So I'm going to church. No. If you're a Christian, you are the church.
Amen.
Yeah. The church is made up of stone. He used that as a metaphor. Those that are Christians make up to, we come to worship. Where are you going to start? I'm going to worship service this morning.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm not going to church. Because I am the church. He said, and I built a, notice now, we are a spiritual house. That's where the family come from.
Uh-huh.
We are a spiritual house. A holy priesthood. See, we don't have, I'm just teaching here now. All of us that are Christians, we are priests. Let me teach that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't go, now there's another reason I don't try to down, but I want to teach correctly. I don't have to go to nobody else to pray to God for me. If I am a Christian, mm-hmm. that relates to God, I'm a priest also.
Yeah.
So I can go to God for myself.
Yeah.
I don't have to go and sit in a booth and have another man my problem. I can go to God and tell God already know my problem.
Amen.
I ain't got to go sharing with nobody else to see what he think of me.
No.
That's some good teaching, isn't it? Yeah, he's sitting there next to me and I'm telling him, you did what? When did you do that? No. You know, because but understand this, good teaching. We are a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. When we were singing this morning, that's a sacrifice.
Right.
Yeah. Go to, let me share while I'm here. Go to Hebrews 13. Let me share that. You have business here. So what do you mean by spiritual sacrifice? Hebrews 13. Let's see how we do this. Yeah. Hebrews 13. Let me show all my time is up. Let me get out of here. Get out of here. Hebrews 13. Did I say 13? Look at verse 15. Know what the Bible says. We're talking about sacrifice. Now, we're looking for the word sacrifices. That makes sense? Watch Hebrews 13, 15. The Bible says, by him, meaning God, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Whenever you read the Bible, you see the word that, oftentimes after the word that is telling you what to do and how to do it. So he said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our what? Yes. Giving thanks to his name. That's the reason in the Lord's church we don't have instruments here. We don't have no command from God to have instruments.
That's right.
The fruit of our...
Right.
Yeah, we sing praise to God.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to go to God and see how God... You can't worship God the way you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You worship God according to the scriptures. That's why I said at the beginning, we come to hear the word of God that I can be more spiritual. So when I'm praising God, I'm doing the fruit of my lips. Let me help us out a little bit. Now, that means that when I'm praising God. Now, I can get in my car. And I like me a little jazz. I like me a little, no problem with you. You ain't in worship. That makes sense?
Yes, yes.
Well, you ain't supposed to be listening. Well, I'm in my car.
That's right.
I'm in my car. And I want to listen to my, now be careful. Let me say what I'm saying now. Some of you guys, I done seen what you guys listen to. Yeah. But I'm saying, when it comes to worship service, the Lord says in Hebrews 13, I do it with the fruit of my lips. We don't have no one else up here. We are all singing. That's called congregational singing. That makes sense? So we can offer, that's what it says in the text, to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. Also praying to God. Yeah. Yeah. Priesthood. I cannot go to God in prayer. We can have what we call, that's what we got in the list now, people that ask for prayer. We want to put their name in there. So I can have prayer for those people that ask for prayer. That's called an intercessory prayer. When you ask God to intercede in somebody else's life. We need those. In closing, every Christian in the world today is a member of Christ's church. Every Christian. The same process that made one a Christian also made them a member. All Christians are children of God. We saw that in Galatians. If one is a child of God, then they are also in the family of God here on earth. And all God's family are in his church.
Right.
There's no one in God's family not outside of the church. Because you don't come to child of God until you get added to the
church.
The word of God is relevant. Yes, I go in here and we can answer these problems we got today. The word of God, right there. Now, let me speak to those that are visiting with us more that's not. We say, how do I get added to the church? Well, let's listen to Jesus on how I get added. So we answer those questions. We know now what the house of God is. It's a family. And that family has a name. And everybody that's in the family has the same name. And that name is Christian. We know that God now, when he talks to the living God, he's not talking about God the Father, nor the Holy Spirit. He's talking about God the Son, because the Son put on flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we need to know, when Paul wrote to Timothy, in the second chapter, remember now, when he wrote that, I'd like to say this here, that when Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, the letter wasn't written with book, chapter, and verses. Man added those, I can say 1 Timothy 2:6. Yeah, man added chapter and verses. They tried to divide up the writing. But when Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, he wrote a continual letter. And in that letter, what we call 1 Timothy 2:6, he reminded him what Jesus did. He said, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What he said was, Jesus paid a ransom for all of us. All of us have sinned according to Romans 3:23, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. All of us. Somebody had to pay for me to get released. Yeah, all of us was in spiritual prison. Somebody had to go, and Jesus said, well, I'm going to be the attorney for the world. God was to say, well, now you know they have sinned. And Jesus said, I know that. I'm representing them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, now the only payment for sin is death.
Mm.
See what? The only payment for sin, somebody has to die. Jesus took off his necktie and took off his coat. He said, your armor. I'll die for them. He said, now, you understand this or not? If you don't die, the Romans were mean. And they would hate you. Now, if you're going to die for them, understand this here. I'm going to nail you to a cross. Say what? Yeah. You gonna die for them? You gonna die the way the Romans killed people back then.
Mm-hmm.
They put them up and nailed them, put nails in their hands, nails in their feet, and they nailed them to a cross.
Yes, sir.
And Jesus said, I'll do it. He was up there 6 hours. Not only that, the Bible teaches us that people were mocking him while he was on that cross. Why don't you come down from the cross if you be God? But he understood that I made an agreement with the Father that I was going to die for their sin.
That's it.
So when I think about that, the word ransom means something paid for the release of someone from captivity. We were all captive by our sins. Jesus had to pay, Christ gave up his life in an atonement for sin. And it holds good for those that are obedient to the condition stated in the Bible. Jesus was a propitiation for us. He was a substitute. And all he said, all you got to do is be obedient to me. But what's the obedient, Brother Stiles? I call it. Jesus said in Luke 11, 28, but he said, ye rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So you first got to hear from God. Amen? Second, Jesus answered John 6:9. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. So you got to believe. None of us seen Jesus, but we believe there's a Jesus because we can read it in the Bible.
Amen.
You got to believe what the Bible says. Yeah, so not only I got to hear the word of God, I got to believe the word of God. What else I got to do, Scott? Jesus said, I tell you, Nate, that except you repent, you shall all like perish. The word perish means to be lost. So not only do you have to hear the word of God, you got to believe what the word of God said, then you got to repent and say, what does repent mean? Repent means I turn to God from how I've been living. Don't matter where you, as we learn better, we're supposed to what?
Do better.
Yeah, so now I learn how to learn. Then the Bible said, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So, I got to hear the word of God, I got to believe it, I got to repent of sin, then I have to make the confession. What is my confession, Brother Scott? I got to make the confession that the eunuch made in Acts 8:37, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You come up this morning, we'll ask you to make that confession.
Mm-hmm.
The confession you make is, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But then the Bible teaches, he said unto them in Mark 16:15-16, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, it says three facts. Three facts is that Jesus died for our sin, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, never to die again. You have to believe that. That's the gospel. You got to believe it. And then if you believe it, what Jesus said, he doesn't believe it, and he is what? Shall be saved. You'll be saved from your past sin. But if you don't believe it, yeah. And the only way I shall believe is if I do what it says. Amen?
Amen?
And so as I close, I just go back to the same scripture I use. Praise God, have favor with people. And the Lord added to the church
right.
Daily, such as to be saved. So again, I say there are two types of people here. Either I am a Christian, I've obeyed the Lord, I've been added to church, or I'm a person, I need to obey the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I just told you how. You hear the gospel, you believe it, repent of your sin, confess Christ the Son of God, then you must be water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sin. And what you're doing is by faith, according to Revelation 1:5, the blood of Christ is in that water. And the blood, when they pierced Jesus in the side, John 19:34, the Bible says out came blood and water. Those two elements was present when Jesus died. There was blood and water. When you die to sin, he died for sin. You have to die to sin. How do you die to sin? You get in the water. By faith, the blood of Christ is in the water. That's what cleanses you from all your past sin. And then if you add it to the church, what is the church? We talked about this morning. The church is a spiritual body of baptized believers. You are called out from the world over which Christ rules as a head. Christ is the head of this church.
That's right.
Not man. We serve God. So, if you're here today, the Bible teaches. We say, well, what's the name of the church? What's the name of the church? Well, just go to the Bible. Paul wrote to the Romans. Salute one another, the holy kids, the churches of Christ salute you. That is not the name. That's a descriptive phrase. When we said the church of the living God was Christ.
Right.
So it is the church of
Christ.
It belongs to him. That's the scripture phrase that we use. Christ gave his blood, according to Acts 20:28. He shed his blood and he purchased the church. It belongs to him. And so if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, you'll come down here this morning. You'll say, I want to be a Christian according to the Bible. I want to be added to the church. There's only one. In the Bible. The church belongs to Christ.
That's right.
That's one. And so I'll ask you one question. I'll say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You'll make the confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then we're going to baptize you for the remission of all your past sin. And the Lord, not man, the Lord would add you to the church. The only one you can read about. That's according to the word of God. The church of the living God. The word of God is relevant today. We can use it today.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
We bid you to come as together we stand and have a verse of a hymn.
Lord, I want to be a Christian.